at Luke Skywalker. He wants to make something of himself. But the problem is he's stuck on this random planet. And so he meets Obi-Wan Kenobi, who calls him to be a Jedi and trains him. He has this plan to teach him to be a Jedi. And then in the end, Luke goes through this difficulty, has the possibility of the rebels being defeated, but in the end he succeeds and he blows up the Death Star. So like, that's the simplest, you know, version of Star Wars. In a business context, you want to say, hey, I recognize you, my customer, as Luke Skywalker.
Hello and welcome to The Scaling Edge. This is the internet talk program that focuses on authentic conversations with battle-hardened entrepreneurs here to share their value with you. I am your host, Michael Brooks. Max is here.
What's going on?
And we got we got Alejandro over there.
What's Alejandro's hiding there in the corner.
He's hiding.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Alejandro? All right. Well, it's great to have you. Matt Banker is with us. He is the founder at Benchmark Growth Marketing, and his love language is conversions. Matt, thank you for being a part of our program. Thank you for being on Scaling Edge. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, sir.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show. I studied fine arts in college. I studied conceptual installation sculpture, which the way I like to describe it is if you've ever gone into a modern art museum and you see something that confuses you and makes you a little bit angry and makes you question whether art is really a thing, that's probably the type of work that I studied in college. The bad news is there's only 3-4 people in the world that are making a living doing that. So I bounced around through a couple different careers. I taught for a little bit. I opened up a coffee shop at one point. And then I kind of found my way into websites and blogging and wanted to learn how to do it myself. And then eventually landed in marketing, worked for a small firm. And then I wasn't super impressed by the leadership at my small firm. And so I thought, oh, if they can run a marketing agency, I can do it too. I could probably do it better than them. So most of my experience has been learning from failure and what not to do, and then stumbling along until we found some things that worked.
How has your experience with art and sculpture helped you or influenced your marketing?
Yeah, well, most of the time in art school, when you're not working by yourself on projects, most of the time in classroom is actually spent critiquing art, either famous artists, you're trying to understand what are they trying to say, or your peers and your classmates. And so a lot of what I did was look at something and say, is this communicating what it's trying to communicate? Is it doing something different? Now, in the art world, most of the time, you're kind of critiquing, oh, this is too obvious. This is too, you know, in your face. You need to dial it back and try to make it a little bit more conceptual, a little bit less obvious. You know, obvious art tends to lean towards propaganda, whereas subtle art is the high end stuff. Well, in marketing, what I do.
Obvious art leans towards propaganda, where subtle art leans towards what?
Kind of the higher end, I would say. Fine arts tends to be a little bit more subtle. Yeah, I think that's how I would describe it.
Can you give me an example of obvious propaganda?
I think that a lot of the, I would say more crafty, this is going to sound terrible, but there's a lot of the stuff that you buy in gift shops tends to be more, it's promoting one particular thing that's meant to just appeal to what already people like. It's trying to grab their sort of basic intuition, sell to them and grab it. So it's either commercial, that's kind of one version, or it's propaganda where you end up seeing
a poster of Che Guevara. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
maybe that's a little blurred out.
Commercial. Yeah. I would say on the propaganda side, I also lived overseas for a while, and I lived in China, which, if you're going to talk specifically about propaganda and art, propaganda is, you know, we make art in order to promote a particular version of things that is approved and accepted by, you know, the governing authorities, but it doesn't have to be mandated, I think, by governments for political things. It can also be sort of a cultural thing. So a lot of propaganda art is, you know, political art tends to be propaganda. It's trying to show a particular side of the equation in a particular light. People are attracted to it because they love their team, but it ends up not really pushing us into uncomfortable spaces to rethink and think differently about what we're experiencing. And I think real great art tends to do a bit more of that.
And we're back. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened. We're broadcasting live here from Dorado, Puerto Rico. So things happen. When I say live, I mean we're actually recording live, not broadcasting. Yeah. So you were creating Chinese propaganda for the government over there. Please continue.
Yeah. So when I lived in China, I was painting a bit. I wasn't doing a lot of art at the time. That's actually where I started and ran the coffee shop for a bit. Not successful. And it was great. Here's what I'll say. If you can start up and run a business using somebody else's money, that's a great training ground. And so I had a business partner. They put in the money. I put in the time. It wasn't a great business. It wasn't a good location. But I learned a lot about running a business and how I would do things differently in the future.
Well, that sucks for him a lot more than it sucked for you. Okay. So
he had plenty of money. It's fine.
Okay. So you're now in the marketing space, right? And how are you, what's your approach to marketing that our audience can get so they can understand how to market their businesses better?
Core of it, I always say we're a words first agency. And so a lot of my work is around positioning and messaging with my clients and developing the copy and the words that help you sell. I love design. I have a background in fine arts. You know, I like the visual.
Do you think people read anymore? I mean, does that really apply anymore?
I think people scan. So like when we do a lot of website work, people scan a website before they read the website. So if they read it at all, they're going through, they're looking at headlines, they're looking at bullet points, they're looking at call outs, and that's about it. They're taking in the visuals kind of subconsciously. And so a big part of when I say words first, there's a quote that is attributed to Mark Twain, but it's probably not from him, where it's, if I had more time, I would write a shorter letter. And so like good copy and words first marketing is not...
I had more time, I would write a shorter letter. That's interesting.
It takes work to get succinct and clear and make those words really count. Because I think to your point, people don't read in depth until they've already been convinced that it's worth reading in depth. And so you have headlines. And so when I think of a website, for example, I think if all the visitor read were the headlines, would they understand the flow of what I'm trying to sell? And would it be compelling? That's, in a sense, that's all the language that you have to work with in the first round. Maybe they'll go back and they'll read it more deeply if you've convinced them already. But that's kind of how I approach marketing these days.
Very, very cool. So can you tell us a little bit about like maybe somebody who's had some success with what you've done, some metrics? Hey, and something that, you saw somebody's work, you shortened it, you made it beautiful. And what was the impact?
Yeah. So these days, I spend a lot of my time working with accounting firms. So I actually have, I have an agency, but we operate under a couple different brands. One of them is Benchmark Growth, it's marketing for accounting firms. And this may surprise you, but accountants don't tend to be super creative folks in most cases. They're kind of by the book numbers guys. Some of them are very entrepreneurial. So, you know, motivated, great business people, but they don't like language and design and stuff tends to not be their strong suit. And so we do a lot of work with accountants. And the biggest, I would say the biggest mistake that they make, and this is true in a lot of other businesses as well, is they tell people what they do, but they don't tell people how it's going to make their life better in any real way. And so you might land on a website and it says, we do bookkeeping and payroll and tax. And that's great. But now you're asking your visitor to connect those dots and say, why do I need that? And how will it make my life better? And so the easiest win that we tend to get for our clients is just saying, how are you going to make their life better? Have your headline say something like, we help medical practices be more profitable. So that was the headline that we changed. We did a whole website redesign, but just making that change took their traffic from, I don't remember the exact numbers, but you know, a 3% conversion rate into a phone call to like a 10% conversion rate when they get those clients in there. So it's simple.
That's changes. a massive jump.
It's huge.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
You know, they had the advantage of a real niche, right? So they were driving some traffic for medical practices, you know, to their website. But that's the sort of thing is you have to help your clients envision the future that they have with you, not just the stuff that you're going to do for them.
You have to let your clients envision the future they're going to have with you, not just the stuff that you could do for them. So that sounds very relationship focused marketing. How do you get there? If I'm out there and I'm trying to write this and I'm trying to write a shorter story and really get my message across so that I can engage with a prospect in a manner that lays the foundation for a lifelong business relationship, how do I do that?
So I'm a big subscriber to the StoryBrand framework. I don't know if you've run across Donald Miller and StoryBrand much in the past, but
no. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. So there's a guy, Donald Miller. He wrote a book called Building a StoryBrand, and I'm certified as a StoryBrand guide. They have kind of a framework that they teach and preach about messaging specifically, and there's really a couple of key concepts to it. So one is, clear is better than clever. The challenge we have with marketing today is not really a challenge of creativity. It's a challenge of noise. It's that cutting through all of the messages that we're getting bombarded with every day, that's the real hard part. And so clarity cuts through the noise. And so before you can be interesting, creative, and clever, you have to be clear. And so that's the first key
component. I'll say you've said a lot of little clips that are like nice sound bites. Clarity cuts through the noise. So if I have a clear story, so what was the name of that book again? What was the name?
Building a Story Brand.
Building a Story Brand. Max, we got to throw that in the show notes because that sounds really cool. And I appreciate the recommendation. So having a story that has clarity, it's going to cut through the noise and allow me to get, because there's a lot of noise out there today. 100%. I know I'm part of it. Huge on the noise, right? I'm screaming all the time. Sometimes for no reason at all. Sometimes when nobody's there at all. But but there's so much content. There's so much noise. You're right. You know, having a long, if I see like a white paper, I'm done. I can't read this. Like I need to see very snippets of what is going to be working, how I'm going to be using something, and then I'll open it up and look and do the dive deeper. But so if I'm developing a story, how do I get that clarity in my story?
Yeah. Well, that's the key part too. And this is a mistake that a lot of people make is, and this is the second component I think that's really important about this StoryBrand framework, is that you're not trying to tell your story. You're trying to tell how you enter into your customer's story. That's the key piece. People don't care about your story.
That's interesting. I've long believed that nobody cares about anybody. Nobody cares. Right. My mom works with us and she's super critical of everything we put out there and making sure everything's right. I'm like, I'm telling you, nobody cares at all. This is just information we're pushing. So that is, I think, a pro tip that people should pay attention to, is that nobody cares about your story. What they want to know is how you influence their story. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And so if you just think of the main elements of a story, right, there's some great books on like script writing and things that talk about like the main characters and the elements of the story. So story brand as a framework breaks it down into seven really simple ones. And the idea is that first you have a character or a hero that wants something, but there are problems that are in the way of them getting there. And so in the story, they meet a guide who has a plan and calls them to action. Sure, and then that leads to success, even though there's a risk of failure. So, you know, classic story, let's say Star Wars, right? You've got Luke Skywalker. He wants to make something of himself. But the problem is he's stuck on this random planet. And so he meets Obi-Wan Kenobi, who calls him to be a Jedi and trains him. He has this plan to teach him to be a Jedi. And then in the end, Luke, you know, goes through this difficulty, has the possibility of the rebels being defeated, but in the end he succeeds and he blows up the Death Star. So like, that's the simplest, you know, version of Star Wars. In a business context, you want to say, hey, I recognize you, my customer, as Luke Skywalker. The problem is you can't accomplish the things that you want, but I have been there. I've done that. I have a plan for you. And so I'm going to come alongside you as a business and help you accomplish the things that you want in your life. And so you're just, it's not that you don't talk about yourself exactly, but you only position yourself and talk about yourself in the context of how you help your customer accomplish what they want and succeed in the ways that they're envisioning.
So the way you get clarity is you clearly identify this customer story, where they are in their journey, in as broad a way as possible.
And what their problems are specifically.
And then you enter as a Sherpa and you go, this is how we help. This is how I can help you destroy the Death Star.
Jedi Master.
You've got it.
You're not. Droids you're looking for.
The other thing is people, it may not be obvious, but people resonate with story, obviously. The problem, and like I mentioned earlier, the mistake that people make is they think that telling a compelling story about your business is what makes people want to buy from you. But people are not looking for another hero. They might like
they want to be the hero. They are the hero.
Exactly.
We are the Robin to your Batman.
So saying we are the best, we're the number one marketing company for accounting firms. That's making myself the hero.
The Toto to your Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Like you got to have Toto, right?
You got to have
Toto
for
the Green Lantern. Was that who that was? Or Kodo?
Yeah. Well, was Toto the sidekick though? Or was he the guide? That's the
sidekick. But like, you know, somebody's got to get stuff done, right?
Yeah. But you could think of like the, what's the Alfred to the Batman, right? You know, he's the behind the. So it's not Robin. You don't want to be Robin to Batman. You want to be Alfred.
Yeah, Alfred's
good. You're the one equipping and supporting and setting him up for success, guiding him.
But also advising him, not just
advising. Yes,
advising him, getting your hands dirty, doing the work, bringing him the latte in the morning, but also helping him keep his moral compass while he goes and defeats the Joker. Well, Matt, that's been very insightful. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate what you've shared with us today. If somebody wants to find you and they need your help cutting through the noise, creating clarity, how do they find you? How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah. Well, okay. So first of all, I'll say I'm the number one marketer for accounting firm. I'm just kidding. That's hero talk, right? Bam. So anyone who's in accounting, I'd love to talk with them. Marketingforaccountingfirms.com. That's where we're at. But I work with other businesses on messaging as well. The easiest way is find me on LinkedIn, Matt Banker. I'm easy to find there, or on Twitter. Also, I think at Matt Banker. Those are the places that I hang out.
We will throw that in the show notes. Matt, thank you so much for being a part of our program. Thank you for being on the Scaling Edge. We appreciate it. We will see you soon. Cheers.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.